بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the great favor of Iman that Allah has bestowed upon us. And indeed this is such a favor that no matter how much gratitude we express, it is always insufficient. Let us try and recite salawat and durood inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, without saying anything further, we beautify and commence the gathering with the greatest of speeches, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that we call upon Hafiz Zain Musa, one of those who has memorized the Quran, one of the local Huffaz, memorized the Quran in the masjid, to render a short tilawat of the Quran Kareem inshallah. Brothers, a humble appeal is made for us to try and fill in the gaps in front of us so as to make space for those who are at the back inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد فجاسوا خلال الديار وكان وعدا مفعولا ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم وإن عدتم عدنا وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, we say Jazakum Allah Khairan to Hafiz Zain for rendering those verses, and verses that are, as we shall soon know, pertinent to the night that we are commemorating the great historical incident as reported to have taken place on this night, the Isra and Mi'raj. Now we're very, very fortunate to have in our midst an alim, a very esteemed and noble alim, Hazrat Mawlana Abbas Ali Sahab. Before calling upon Hazrat Mawlana to render his advices, etc., just a brief introduction is that I would also say that we are extremely fortunate. I know Mawlana would be extremely modest and would not want me to make mention of this, but foremost, Mawlana has the great honor of being linked to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a Sayyid from the Sadat, from the descendants of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of those things by means with which we attach ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is love for the Mubarak way and sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love for the family and companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Qadi Ayaz rahimahullah ta'ala, in his great book Ash-Shifa bi Ta'rif Huquq al-Mustafa, an entire book that has been dedicated to the rights enjoyed by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the ummah, amongst the many rights that he enumerates, amongst them are having a sign of love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to love the family, the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Mawlana Abbas Sahib's father, very famous alim in our country historically, Mawlana Zubair Ali Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, has served tremendously in Standerton as well as being an imam in Leslie for 18 years consecutively. Mawlana's family are serving deen in a very sterling manner in various parts. We are all very, many of us are aware of the fact that Mawlana's late brother, marhum, Mawlana Qasim Ali rahimahullah ta'ala, who had blessed our masjid on a number of occasions, we are honored to say, Allah blessed him with such a mubarak and such a great ending and a death that he had passed away in the masjid, just completing, delivering the Jummah bayan in the masjid on the day of Jummah. One cannot ask for a more mubarak and a better death than that. We ask Allah Ta'ala to fill his qabr and the qabr of all our marhumin with nur, inshallah. Mawlana Abbas Sahib himself is serving in Springs, has served for many, many years there. Also remarkable, one of the khidmat and the services of deen rendered by Mawlana is that he had spent 8 years in Australia. Now ask any Muslim in Australia, then the name Mawlana or Sheikh Abbas is synonymous with deeni infrastructure that has been established in that country, and undoubtedly Mawlana has been one of the forerunners, instrumental in establishing the various infrastructure of deen in Australia. I have the honor, the opportunity, the grace of Allah of teaching at Darul Uloom Zakaria. We have many students who are coming there from Australia, and all of these somehow or the other linked to the seeds that had been laid by Mawlana Abbas Sahib in his time spent in Australia. So we take the honor and the opportunity of requesting Hazrat Mawlana Abbas Sahib, inshallah, to come render us his advices. Mawlana will render a few couplets of the Qasida Burda and some advices, and at the end we'll conclude with a rendition of the Asmaul Husna prior to the dua, inshallah. Jazakallah. Brothers, just sadly a long list of vehicles that are obstructing in some way or the other. I will call out the registration plates: KFW788GP, a white Opel; XFB319GP, BMW 320; JPR122GP, Toyota Corolla; Golf GTI WTT940GP. Mercedes CLK HTV 199GP, 100, I think it's GMNW Northwest Mercedes, the registration 100 EEM Northwest. Please kindly remove these vehicles, please.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم، الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين، محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين، والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، هو الحبيب، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected elders, علماء الكرام, friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All thanks and all praises due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator and sustainer, most loving, most forgiving, most gracious and most merciful. Salatu salam be on his beloved Habib, Allah's Nabi and Rasul and final messenger, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his illustrious Sahaba and companions, and on all those that follow in their footsteps till the day of Qiyamah. Respected friends, actually I am here delayed by 2 years. It's 2 years, Mawlana. And قدر الله ما شاء فعل. Everything happens by the hukam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Mawlana Burhan Sahib invited me 2 years ago, but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had decreed something else, that instead of coming to Greenside Masjid, I found myself in the Mulk Park Hospital. Subhanallah. With a new lease, with a new engine, new valves, and alhamdulillah. And Allah had used possible after 2 years, finally I made it here. I'm delayed with an apology that it took me 2 years to finally reach, but I'm glad that alhamdulillah finally made it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your sitting here. I don't intend making the bayan very long. You have had a day. I won't say it is a long day, because days are short these days in winter. But nevertheless, you have had an active day, and tomorrow also you have a day. Just want to get a few important messages through to you tonight, inshallah, with regard to the significance of this particular night of Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. What is the significance of this night? Like that we, in our own day-to-day popular terminology, we say Mutti Raat hai, Badi Raat hai. It's a big night. Alhamdulillah, it is. As Mawlana referred to as historical, I'll add to that, it's a historical plus a spiritual night. The lessons that come out there are very spiritual. And because it's an historical occasion, it's something that needs for us to think. After all, remember, we are living in a time of science and technology. And we get overawed. We can't keep pace with how fast technology is moving, and new things are coming up. And before we get used to getting to grips with something that came out, with some invention that came out previously, by the time the new one comes out, we're already behind time. Computers within 1 year become outdated. That's how it's moving today. Now the fact is that for a Muslim, he looks at these things. He doesn't isolate himself from the world, and he tries to keep abreast of whatever is happening. But he doesn't get overawed and carried away
by these things and to think in the way that a disbeliever would think. You know, we talk of idols. Different religions have different kind of idols in their work, in their worship places. Statues of Isa alayhi salam, statues of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, statues of gods, ten-headed gods, and all different kind of things. But it's not only those idols that are actually people worshipped. Science, technology can also become an idol on its own. And if I, tomorrow is the last day actually, whatever it is, sports, these things also become idols for people. Film stars also become idols. Soccer players also become idols. What is this? When a person gets carried away in these things, and which makes him, puts him into ghaflat, forgetfulness of Allah, His Rasul, Deen, Quran, Salah, Zikr, then that becomes an idol. And one of the greatest idols which is within ourselves, if we have not disciplined ourselves, which the Quran Kareem refers to, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you not seen the person who has made his own ego, his own nafs, his God? He has taken his own nafs and his own ego. In other words, in more simpler terms, his own desires as his God. I do what I feel like. I do. I follow my whims and fancies. That's what the Quran Kareem. And yet, وَأَبَى اللَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. He's got lots and lots of knowledge. But that knowledge becomes the means. Lots and lots of knowledge, that knowledge which, of science and technology, whatever that knowledge is not bringing, he goes astray despite having that knowledge. Because of the nafs, the ego within himself, it doesn't make him see things clearly, the clear picture. And with the result, whatever he thinks, the knowledge takes him instead of bringing him closer to Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he takes him further away, and he drifts further and further away from the deen of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allahumma ahfadhana. May Allah not make the knowledge that we have make us drift away from deen, but bring us closer to Allah. Remember, true knowledge, which is knowledge in a true sense, which is the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, the Quran and the Hadith, that is true knowledge. It gives us the truth, reality of things, and reality of life. All these other knowledges that are there, we call them knowledges, some call them secular knowledges, some call them acquired sciences, they are different words. They are only for the worldly usage, for us to progress in the world. But true knowledge, true ilm, which the Quran refers to as ilm, is deen, Islam teaches ilm, is that which brings us closer to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, to His Nabi, to the Quran, etc. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that this knowledge that they acquire, this so-called knowledge, advanced knowledges, acquired sciences which people acquire and which takes them further away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and makes them so forgetful of deen and Allah and His Rasul, that a stage comes when they fall into such ghaflat. Now ghaflat is a word used in the Quran repeatedly. Ghafiloon, ghafiloon. Who are ghafiloon? The people who have forgotten Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Either they have forgotten Him completely by disbelieving in Him, they don't accept the existence of a creator, of a khaliq. Or that they have taken partners and forgotten Allah as the single one in the by the oneness of Allah. And have taken partners to Allah. Some have taken other gods besides Allah ta'ala. All of these are people who are in ghaflat. But people like us who recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also could be ghafilin. That with that belief, with the reciting of the kalima, we are in a state of the disobedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the disobedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Yet we are ghafilin. A person who doesn't remember Allah, doesn't live with the thought of Allah, is all the time involved in dunya and material things, all the time. And makes those his idols as such, which the Quran Kareem refers to. You know what does that do to our faculties? It destroys the soundness of our faculties. These faculties which Allah has given us to see, to hear, to think. What happens? All those faculties become corrupted. And they become completely destroyed. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. And once that happens, we are not physically blind, but we are spiritually blinded, as the Quran says. That فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي بِالصُّدُورِ. It's not their physical eyes that are blind, the vision is there, but they can't see reality with that. It is the spiritual eyes that are blinded. They are not spiritually deaf, but they become, they are not physically deaf, but they become spiritually deaf. With the result, when they hear about the real aspect of Quran, Sunnah, Jannah, Jahannam, Qabr, etc., it doesn't make sense. The faculties have become destroyed. So become spiritually deaf. Allah must save us from that. That's what the Quran Kareem is referred to. Allah has given them aql. Aql, understanding, intellect, etc. To think and to reflect and to contemplate. But because the person is involved so much in dunya, doesn't bring that equilibrium, as you call it, the balance between dunya and akhirat, such a person destroys the thinking of his. He only thinks materialistic. Materialism is his religion. Everything is around materialism. Now Allah Ta'ala says, who can guide such a person then? فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ Such a person, who can guide when he's been destroyed? Allah Ta'ala means for this person's hidayat in some way, then only he can be guided. أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Are you going to reflect? Are you going to think? Are you going to take lesson? Now this is just an introduction for us to think about tonight's greatness. Then the significance of tonight. What is this night? This night is the night of Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj. It is a historical, spiritual event. A journey which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took, physically and spiritually. When we look at this whole incident, I'm sure already by now through Jummah khutbahs, our ulama and khatibs have already explained some aspects of the details of this night. I don't wish to intend to go into the details. I just wish to draw some lessons and morals and points out for us to think. But in this time of science and technology, we get so overawed by what is happening. And no doubt, science and technology in the present time has reached its climax, its peak. It's reached its climax. It's not that it stopped, it's still, but as far as it has reached, it hasn't reached in any other time of the existence of the world historically as we see. But this incident of Isra and Mi'raj teaches us that what human being is acquiring or inventing or making through the aql that Allah Ta'ala has given to him, these things happened and can happen by the hukam and the qudrat and the power of Allah Ta'ala without any instruments. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of asbab, in need of means. Today if we need, when we talk of heart transplants, we think of hospitals, we think of high-level physicians, we think of theaters, we think of all of those kind of things. Look at the hukam and the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his chest was cut open and taken out before this journey. And it was washed and cleansed with the water of Zamzam, subhanallah, and then put back. Now before the first heart transplant that took place in South Africa, which is historical for our country, that, you know, we used to, if somebody would have told us 20, 30 years before that, or told our grandfathers about this, they wouldn't have believed that something like this could be done, that hearts could be taken more, someone's heart could be transplanted to another person's body, and the person could live, and so forth and so forth. How long he lives, I mean, those things in front of us, how long those people who were recipients of heart transplants, how long they lived and how quick some of them died. The fact is this, that already when we looked at science and technology there, but when we look at the incident of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of shaqq al-sadr means the splitting or the cutting of his breast, and subhanallah, we could have said, subhanallah, sadaqallah, wa sadaqa al-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah and his Rasul have spoken the truth. Now remember one thing, this incident of Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj, it's not one miracle, it's a combination of miracles. Mu'ajazatum minal mu'ajizat. It is, the ulama kiram refer to three miracles as one of the three greatest miracles of Rasulullah. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed many, many miracles. Many miracles. And many of them, all of those miracles performed by various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam prior to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of them of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also performed. They relate to material things, physical aspects, etc., etc. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's miracles were not equal to that also, but much, much more. But three stand out. One is the Quran Kareem, which is the ultimate literary miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest, ultimate, literary miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understood these three words? That's why the world has progressed after the revelation of the Quran. So many sciences have come alive because of the knowledge that the Quran Kareem brought. And people who took that knowledge, applied it to their lives, and subhanAllah, the world which was sunk in darkness, those people who are in touch with history, know about the different stages of the dark ages, the medieval ages, then comes the period of the Renaissance, and then the Enlightenment, and all those periods, all of those, what brought light? Islam brought light to the world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought light to the world. The Quran Kareem brought light to the world. All of these great things that happened, that light came in the world after Islam came into existence. It means the dunya received that light. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ Allah took them out of the darkness, of the dark ages, and brought them into the age of enlightenment, which they speak about. That you can study from historical and then come to appreciate our deen. Coming back to the aspect, that is the one miracle, which is the Qur'an Kareem. Literally means the knowledge it has. Up to now, ulama kiram are studying the Qur'an and writing new tafasir, new commentaries of the Qur'an Kareem, subhanAllah. And as the science and technology progresses, the beauty of the Qur'an comes out much more clearer, in the sense that subhanAllah, we come to appreciate the Qur'an greatly. Understand that in Islam, science and religion, Islam and science doesn't have a war. You can say that about Christianity, you can say, that's why that whole history is another aspect in the days of the medieval period, when the church was in control of things, and anybody studied science and said anything against what the church fathers or the priests said, that the world is flat. And you know, you can't go too far, you'll fall down. Or they would say that the earth is static, it stays on one place, and it is not the earth that is moving, but it is the sun that revolves around the earth. All of those things, anyone dead on scientific research said something, otherwise they would be burnt as heretics. Because they went against the church belief, and they were all wrong. SubhanAllah, when Islam came, Islam confirmed to a lot of scientific facts. Understand this point. Scientific facts, not scientific theories. Scientific theories, science keeps changing from time to time. But there are certain aspects of science which have reached fact. You say H2O, what's it? What's H2O? Liquid, water. Right. Refers to the hydrogen molecules and oxygen, etc. Now that is a fact. But that's a hukum of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has created it. You put two molecules of this and one of this and it becomes liquid and water. Now that's a historical, a scientific fact. It's not a theory. But there's so many things that are still theorizing, conjecturing, as the Quran Kareem says, يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ They're conjecturing, hypothetical, thinking, guessing, thinking this, that, but yet they never reach the fact. That is scientific theories. But what is scientific facts? Alhamdulillah, when science reaches a fact, it will always be in line with what the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. So another point to remember, that Islam, the Quran and Hadith does not need the confirmation of science. But science needs to be confirmed by the Quran Kareem. Then we'll say the Quran says this. Yes. They say no. If science has reached the point that all that this earth is moving, or the double movement, the earth is moving like a top on its axis, and it's also moving in its orbit, double movement. And science now discovered it lately, that it's not how they believed, that before the sun, the earth was standing in one place and the sun was moving around. No. كُلُّن فِي فَلَكِي يَزْبَحُونَ Quran Kareem in Yasin Sharif we read, that how the sun is moving, how the moon is moving in their own orbits, and how the earth is moving. SubhanAllah. So what science reached, the Quran had already, we said, yes, the Quran says. So coming back to the incident of Isra and Miraj, on those kind of things, so there's the second aspect of this, knowledgeable, the literary aspect of the Quran Kareem is that one, the ultimate, the greatest miracle, that it will live. All the other miracles of the Anbiya went away with them. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the miracles he performed relating to physical or matter, material things, you know, little one bowl of milk and how many people drank from there, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his finger in some water and how many people drank from there, all of those relate to physical, material, SubhanAllah. But this miracle of the Quran will stay till the day of Qiyamah. Guide people, as knowledge will progress, the Quran will be there to confirm to what they are doing and give guidance in that. The second miracle, which is also referred to by ulama as one of the greater miracles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is Shaqq al-Qamar. The splitting of the moon. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر One of the signs, one of the first signs of Qiyamah, there is also which a good population of the part of the world saw in the time when they were, at the time when this particular miracle took place. And the third miracle, which is a combination of miracles, is Isra and Mi'raj. Like I said, one is starting off the cutting of the breast of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and filling that heart with Iman, with Quwwah, with strength to undertake this very lengthy journey. You know, when we go into a journey, when today when astronauts go up to into space, how much effort they have to go through. Find out from people who are, you know, who know about this, that physically health is taken into account and so many other things. Then only, and then as they are put into those rockets of theirs, you know, what things they have been given, oxygen, etc., to be able to reach those places. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed in this night of Miraj with speed. Subhanallah. You can think of the most speed. Now we've got how train here, by the way. We used to hear the bullet trains in Japan. But now we talk how train. Very quickly, they say from the airport till there, you can do it in 20 minutes. And whatever it is, speed. This kind of that we speed. Speed is, but Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through the hukam and the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, with the speed that he undertook, or he was made to undertake the journey from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah, from Masjid Al-Haram, min al-Masjid Al-Haram ila al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, to Masjid Al-Aqsa, on Buraq. Now Buraq was a conveyance, an animal, sent down from Jannat by Allah Ta'ala, brought down by Hadith Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And we talk of the speed of light these days. Subhanallah, Buraq moved, not with the speed of light, but with the speed of sight. Like imagine what speed that, so any kind of speedy conveyances that have come out after the progress of science and technology cannot still, so, but we understand it that subhanallah, the qudrat and the hukam of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala could create a conveyance for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which moved with such speed that within seconds and minutes Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved from Makkah to Baitul Masjid Al-Aqsa. I think it's about approximately 800 kilometers. Subhanallah. That's why the ayat starts with Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. Subhanalladhi asra, who took his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. What's in Masjid al-Aqsa? Alladhi barakna hawlahu. That particular place which Allah has blessed his precincts, blessed that whole area. Great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were born there, preached there, and are resting there. Why did Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through this whole journey? And what was the purpose of this journey? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah says, so that we may show Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Habib, our beloved Abd, servant, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our qudrat, the signs of our qudrat, our power, that how we can take you with such speed from one point to the other. Allahu Akbar. لِنُرِيَهُ. This word, نُرِيَ, يَرَى, ulama kiram are here, people who understand Arabic know it refers to that. Such a lot of times this word is used when it speaks about the event of Madinah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown physically, with his physical eyes, he was shown the qudrat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Starting off from the journey from Makkah al Mukarramah. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Allah has blessed this place, Masjid al-Aqsa. Today, sadly, when we speak about Masjid al-Aqsa, all the unpleasant things come into our minds with regard to the occupation of that apartheid Israel of that place and the control of Masjid al-Aqsa itself. Allahu Akbar. So Allah in front speaks about this. The whole ruku which our Qari Sahib, which our Hafiz Sahib recited, related to that. From وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. How Allah Ta'ala had given the Bani Israel. Now remember, when we speak about Bani Israel, we are talking specifically of the Jews. The Jews are just but one of the 12 tribes of the one of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, whose name was Israel. Israel means Abdullah in Arabic. Israel, son of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, or servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jews are just but one. We think when we speak of Israelite, we speak of no. When you look at the Old Testament, in all the books of the Old Testament, those are all the books of the Israelite prophets, where the Quran speaks about Ya Bani Israel, all the children of Israel. So a lot of those tribes that were in existence before that I mentioned, and the 12 tribes who were the sons, the 12 sons of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, who was called Israel, are specifically mentioned. And Allah reminds them, the Jews as we know them, they are just but one of those tribes. So when they lay claim to their being chosen ones, as the Quran says, that they say, you know, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَحِبَّاهُ, we are the beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are His children. All of those kind of claims are false. Allah speaks about all of these tribes. Then you can put all of them together as Semitic tribes. And the Arabs are also Semitic. Anyway, Allah speaks about that when these people were given the custody of Masjid al-Aqsa, or rather of Baytul Muqaddas, when they again controlled there, how they disobeyed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala appointed upon them such rulers, tyrant rulers and zalimeen, who took them out, raised the temple to the ground, which was built by Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and exiled him from there. Then Allah gave them another chance. And instead of being thankful to Allah and obeying Allah, they went back to the announce. Again they were punished by Allah. Allah warns that, but Allah also, you see, whatever is happening in that part of the world, in Palestine, which we puts us to a lot of, we become very uncomfortable when we read about it. But remember, all of this are prophecies, end time prophecies that are being fulfilled. The Quran Kareem also speaks about this, alludes to this in some ayat, that at the end of time, all of these Jews, who is one of the tribes of the others all scattered around in all parts of the world, they will return back. They will return back to Baytul Muqaddas, to Palestine, and from 1948 we see what has happened, they've come back there, and then eventually prepare for the appearance of Dajjal. The appearance of Dajjal. So they will have to be ready there when Dajjal appears. A few years ago when Allah gave us the chance to go and visit the Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Al-Aqsa, in the visit of the three harams, we actually saw the place which is shown to us by our brothers there, which is called Babul Lut, the gate of Lut, where Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will actually slay the Dajjal. And the majority of the followers and supporters of Dajjal will be these Jews, Zionists, Freemasons, all of these people who are anti-Allah. They are anti-Allah, so they'll follow the Antichrist. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about all that. So the fact is that they are putting up all these big apartheid walls. It was sad to see all those things. Everywhere else, the Berlin Wall went down in South Africa, apartheid came to an end, but there they are putting it up, because prophecy has to be completed. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. How will the end time prophecies be fulfilled if these things don't happen? So Allah Ta'ala, it's one of the Jewish writers made a very good point. He said that this, what they are doing with this putting up of this wall, it is what we would call a ghetto. They are trying to, when they lived in ghettos in Europe, are ghettos for the Palestinians, but are prisons for the Jews themselves. So when Allah Ta'ala will send Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Mahdi, Maulana Rashid Sahib is sitting here, who gives a very good response, very detailed, these kind of things, they will all be ready there. That will be their abattoir. That will be their slaughter place. We'll have to go run around looking for them all around the world. So this is prophecy in the making. So we need to understand it, that these events are taking place. But nevertheless, doesn't mean because they have been predicted and prophesized that we need to just sit, we need to make dua for them, we need to suffer for our brothers and sisters and whatever they are going through in Gaza and in the West Bank and in Palestine, because that is a joint property of the Ummah. But this handful of people are suffering and carrying for the Ummah. So we need to make dua for them, we need to give them moral support, whatever time when there is appeal for finance and we need to give towards them. Anyway, this was just to make us understand that when we talk of Israel Miraj, we talk of Baytul Muqaddas, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached with that speed, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam in prayer in Salah, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up. That is called Miraj. The first part is called Isra, the nocturnal journey, the night journey. And from there, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken up, that is called Miraj. Miraj means from Uruj, taken up. It is mentioned Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undertook three conveyances, with Buraq from Makkah to Baytul Muqaddas. From there, there was a thing which mentions that Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Wasallam took him from there, up with him. Some say there was a ladder, a kind of escalator which we see today, And that carried Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to the first guy. From there, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam carried him up. Imagine what an honor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received. That Jibreel alayhi salam accompanied him all the time, carried him, and somewhere he was carried by Burak, somewhere he was taken up by this ladder that took him up to that point. Subhanallah. You know, if you look at again from scientific point of view, I'm not a scientist by the way, I don't know much about that, but those that know the basics of it, that, you know, we talk of above this earth after particular distant days, what we call the atmospheric layer. You know, they talk of this ozone layers and greenhouse effects, etc. Above that there is no oxygen. That's why these astronauts that go up there to be fitted with all this so that they can breathe. Now imagine with the speed. That there is a certain stage when you go up, it's below freezing point. You know, we talk of 3 and 4 degrees when we have our peak winters. But the fact is this, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed through these barriers, you know, that were minus to we don't know what extent. Barriers of various, with great speed he passed through. Heat and ice, in the sense of cold. But you know, to make us understand, sometimes there's a fire and you just put your finger quickly over it to your hand, it doesn't burn you, there's a flame burning, you just do this. Just to understand that how it doesn't burn a person, similar Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken up at that speed, that none of that affected him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through this journey, we are learning that the science and technology cannot reach. This lesson of Miraj in simplicity, brother, it shows the victory of Ruhaniyat, spirituality, over Madiyat. Madiyat means materialism. Science and technology relates to material things. Ruhaniyat relates to spirituality. That when a person reaches that high level of spirituality, he becomes beyond the aspects without instruments, etc. When it comes to speech, when it comes to space, subhanAllah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi broke all the time barriers and he reached up in that state. Passing through the various skies, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met the various Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, who welcomed him and congratulated him for this great honor, which they had been informed that one night a great event like this would take place. Malaika were informed of this after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed through all the skies and reached the point on the seventh sky. This just cutting it all very, very short in the sense of making us understand. And he reached that point which is called Sidratul Muntaha, which Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran Kareem. إِذْ يَخْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَخْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. Allah says, we took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through all these various and shown various things on the various skies. He was shown after that, when he reached there, a massive tree, Sidra as it is called, which was covered with beautiful, you know, colors. What were they? He asked, oh Jibreel. Remember, Jibreel alayhi salam is with him still. Jibreel said, what is this? This beautiful tree. Jibreel said, these are all malaika who are informed of your coming tonight. And they are sitting there to get a glimpse of you. Allahu Akbar. Malaika waiting to get a glimpse of Nabi Kareem. Nabi Akhir Zaman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tonight is that blessed night when he will be called up by Allah Ta'ala. جبريل وتاه لدعوته والرب دعاه لحضرته. Poet has said that Allah Ta'ala sent a da'wat nama. You know, we send invitations out. Allah is the one who is the da'i here. And the messenger is Jibreel alayhi salam. Imagine the president sends you an invitation and sends it personally with his first secretary. It didn't just come by post. The first secretary comes and delivers to your house. Allah is the sender of this da'wat. The carrier and the messenger of this da'wat is Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel wataahu li da'watihi wa rabbu da'ahu li hadratihi. What was in that da'wat nama? That invitation that your Lord, your Allah Ta'ala is inviting you up to himself. Allah is calling you to come to in his presence. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says when he reached the point of Sidratul Muntaha. Muntaha means the final point where these beautiful coloring lights were seen in the form of the various malaika. See, all this relates to the aspect where Allah speaks that we showed him our signs. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. In fact, about Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only saw him in his original form 2 times. Once while he was on this earth, and he requested Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to show him. Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the form of a human being, in the form of a sahabi, very handsome sahabi, when he used to bring rice, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam could get familiar and acquainted with him and receive the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam one occasion requested him that Jibreel, I want to see you in your original form. That was while he was on this earth. And Jibreel salam said, I'll show you myself too. And Jibreel salam appeared. And when he opened up his wings, and the massive stature, in massive size of Jibreel salam, who the Quran Kareem refers to as the quwwatin inda dhil arsh makin, that powerful messenger of Allah, who is the closest to the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when Nabi salam saw him, Nabi salam fainted. Just to see Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fainted. He fell unconscious. The second time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you saw Jibreel as some among the great signs of Allah was when Jibreel salam appeared to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular journey in his original form. But that was not of the worldly thing. The laws that applied in that other world didn't apply to Rasulullah there, but the result, it didn't affect him. But there he saw Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, who was so close to him, Qaba Qawsaini aw Adna. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَىٰ. Further than Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds up there. The tree, the sidra I just mentioned, is so massive. The roots of it are in the fourth sky. Baitul Ma'murat is fourth sky. And it appears on the seventh sky. The branches of it. Imagine if you have seen a tree. We hear about this, you know, in the hadith, that, you know, in akhirat things are like this and this size and that size, etc. But subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala actually showed Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visually, factually, all of these things. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came back, he related it to his ummah. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then from there, from Sidra, Jibreel sallam, who is so mighty and powerful, says to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, move forward. I can't move an inch further from here. Again, we see the superiority of a spiritualized person, a human being, over that of the malaika. As we see the victory or the power of spirituality over material things on this journey and the speed and everything that we speak of, there an angel who is the most mighty angel, the quwwatin inda dhil arshi makin, stands and backs out and says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from here I can't move an inch forward. If I move an inch forward, I will be burned to cinders, to ashes. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, that's where the final point, muntaha, the final point for an angel to go, he stops there. And now you will have to carry on with your journey. It is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken up by raf-raf. There was a kind of a conveyance which Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in seconds up to into the presence of Allah. And he mentions that I passed through barriers. Now we speak in the world of barriers, sound barriers and this barrier and that barrier. There were barriers of darkness. Darkness upon darknesses upon became darker and darker and darker. I continue, he says, until finally light appeared and it became lighter and lighter until I found myself in a full effulgence and radiance in the presence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The jalal, the tajalli of Allah, the nur of Allah was so powerful that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I fell down in sajda. Now we can understand it when Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, show me yourself, I want to see you. Make yourself manifest to me. I would like to see you, oh Allah, how you look. What did Allah answer Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? Qala lam tarani. Never, you can never, with this physical eyes, you cannot see Allah ta'ala in this world. You cannot, your eyes cannot bear that. لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ يُنْظُرِ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانُهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. But look at that mountain, I'll send one ray, reflection of my jalal, of my light on that mountain. If that mountain can take it, then you'll be able to see me. And Allah sent it. And that whole mountain, the section where it fell like a lightning, you know, falls on some place, it smashes into smithereens. It shattered that section of the mountain. Musa alayhi salam saw this and fell down unconscious. He couldn't see that little light of the tajalli of Allah. Here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds himself in the full radiance of the tajalli of Allah. Not that he saw Allah Ta'ala physically. No, that is something that is. But he's definitely found himself in the presence of Allah with his full radiance and tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he found himself there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited some du'as. And remember, this night is a very significant night for us to connect ourselves through Iman. Because this incident relates to the Qudrat and power of Allah. It relates to Iman, it relates to faith. And through faith comes into us. Today we have faith in all material things, in science, in technology, in money, in gold, in silver, in so many things. But if that same yaqeen and faith can come on Allah, Tabarak wa ta'ala, my respected eldest friends and brothers in Islam, be assured, we'll become submissive to Allah. And Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala gave to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that particular aspect as a gift, a token of, as a, in commemoration of this particular journey in the form of salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, before when he went into the presence of Allah, this at-tahiyyat that we recite in tashahud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it. Part of it was recited by him. At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. All kinds of worships, devotions, all kinds, whether they are material, whether they are physical, whether they are, verbal, all belong to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Salah, saum, zakah, all of that comes in this. Answer was given by Allah. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Peace be upon you, our nabi. You have come to us. Salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. And the rahmah of Allah. Wa rahmatullahi barakatuh. This is a salam that you're making a dua for one another when we meet. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi barakatuh. Allah Ta'ala sent these three things. The rahmat, the peace, salamati, and the rahmat and barakat on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. And the malaika in chorus said, in fact, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not only on me, but on my entire ummah, on that ummah that follows me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remembered his ummah even on this occasion. Allahu Akbar. Do we remember our Nabi? How much do we remember him by way of saying the salawat upon him, durood on him? How much do we remember him by way of following his sunnah, by way of establishing his sunnah, by way of promoting his sunnah in this world? Subhanallah. In an occasion like this, when you have that one chance to be in the presence of Allah, there also he remembers his ummah. Malaika joined in chorus. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. Anyway, it is mentioned that on this night Allah Ta'ala gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few gifts. One of the gifts is of the five times salah, which was with a special ruling. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ruling was for one good action, one reward. But on this night, as a special gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a rule was made, a principle, that for this ummah, what one good action they do, minimum they will get 10 rewards for that. 10 for one. For one salah, 10 rewards. Initially the hukam was to perform 50 salah. Because it's 50 salah a day. Abre ka puru karte. Akkadara namaz is para karte. Pure din Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It was Musa alayhi salam ka ihsan hai ki Musa alayhi salam told that my ummah was given just to make salah 3 times a day and they couldn't do it. How is your ummah going to do this 50? Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleaded to Allah, seeking an excuse to meet Allah again and again, going up and down. He knew Allah was going to make it 5 and give 50 in return, 10 for every salah. But the enjoyment, when Musa alayhi wa sallam was asked about his stick, then Musa, what do you have in your hand? When Allah spoke to Musa alayhi wa sallam, Musa alayhi wa sallam said, the answer, Asa, it's my stick. But the enjoyment, to communicate with Allah, the communion that you have with your Creator is so enjoyable. The Musa alayhi salam went to a big lecture, long lecture. قَالَ هِيَا صَايْ أَتَوَكَّوْ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعْرِبُ أُخْرَى. Wallah, I use the stick, when I get tired, I rest on the stick, I bring the leaves for my goats for this and my cattle for this, and at the same time, I use it for many other things. Long story. Same way when Allah, this was a good occasion for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to communicate with Allah again and again. But finally, subhanallah, 5 salah was given to us as the ummah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So brothers, let us understand the significance of the salah. This beautiful masjid in Greenside, subhanallah, and when you see this masjid full like this, it makes your heart skip a beat. It makes you so happy. The subhanallah, that our brothers who have moved into this area, this is a fledgling community, mashallah. It's been built up from people all around different parts and have come and settled here. The, one of the greatest and best things that you have done here is to have put out, have a base for yourself, a spiritual hub as we call it. The subhanallah 5 times a day. You can meet and you can pray. And mashallah, adjacent to that, you have a lovely madrasa, maktab there, Tahfiz al-Quran classes carrying on. You couldn't ask anything. It's truly green in the green side. It's worthy its name. That subhanallah, spiritually, that you have made this place spiritually green and lush. Subhanallah. Now we have to keep building up in this way. Imagine we are a minority in a minority in this country. We are a minority in this country. We are in a 45 billion or a million. We're not even 2% or not even 1%. But subhanAllah, Allah has given to you, given to us that urge. This is the barakat of our elders who came from overseas and they had the jazba of deen. They were not very learned. The ulama effort, the ulama have done, our da'wat work has been carrying on. All this is done. Brother, as Marana mentioned, I had an opportunity to stay outside this country for many, many years. And what I saw overseas, where there are so many people from Muslim countries settled there, and the conditions, you wouldn't find Tarawih carrying on there, you wouldn't find Masajid there, they don't know, there's nothing for the intizam, as we call, and no this arrangement for ta'lim and education of children. Allahu Akbar. That situations, and when you see here and compare that here, subhanallah, we are very, very blessed. The fact of the matter is that, remember, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you make shukr to Allah and you show gratitude to Allah, that ni'mat increase. There's hafizes that we, every little masjid, every little village, every little town, hafizes every year. Now it's end of the year and so many coming out. This is a ni'mat of Allah. Don't take it for granted. Remember, one is to make nashukri. Ingratitude is bad. Wala in kafartum, if you make nashukri, Allah says my punishment is severe. But to take things for granted is the first stage of ingratitude. Remember that. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us. Appreciate our masajid, appreciate our ulama, appreciate our makatib, appreciate all of these things that Allah has given to us, so that inshallah if we do so, Allah will increase it inshallah. Inshallah. We have a great future in this country, remember that. Alhamdulillah, people talk of migrating, they always phone me. They think I'm some agent for Australian government. Malana, I'm going to Australia, what do you say? I told him, if Australia was such a great heaven and paradise, I wonder with my Australian passport why I would be sitting here in South Africa still. In this crime-ridden, corrupt South Africa. What brings me back? I said, two things only brings me back and keeps me. I keep going up and down. I'm the second home to me and I have a very big community with which I am affiliated. But the fact is this, that for the demand of deen, whenever there is, that we are up and down. One is our own human weakness, as family members are here. We are very family-oriented people and find ourselves very, look, that's our weakness, I would call it. Sahaba didn't look at that. But the second aspect of it is that there is deen here. Easier to bring up our children. We hear the adhans. And alhamdulillah, all of those facilities, that's are the things that we need to look at. But if Allah is making a rosy, in case one of you is contemplating, you don't even need to formulate. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we need to go out also to spread the deen like Sahaba did. Don't be all coward like myself. Inshallah, if Allah has given you a good profession and by which you are accepted there, but go strong from here. Danger is when people go weak from here and they go there, then afterwards they start changing. But sometimes it's too late. Children get out of control and it's too late. Get yourself strong here. Because the world, وَأَرْضُ wasi'ah, the land of Allah is very vast and great. Not South Africa is the only country that we are. Our forefathers came from where after all? Most of us were sitting from the Indo-Pak continent. Some others may have come from Java, Sumatra, from the Malaysian areas. Now the fact is that Islam came. So if Allah is taking us to newer areas, not a problem. But go with the niyat of Dawat. To many of my brothers who have come here in the last 10, 15 years, I speak to them also. That Allah has brought you here through business and whatever it is. Alhamdulillah, Allah has brought you. Ruzi is transferred by Allah. Stay here, acquire your rosy in a halal way, and stay here with the spirit of Dawah, that we are going to hold on to Islam, practice on Islam, and promote the deen of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah. So that is a message to those that have that intention. It's not haram to leave that South Africa is some holy land here, or something that, you know, we can't leave from here, it doesn't work that way. So alhamdulillah, I conclude now my talk, brothers. I've been watching, I promised Maulana that I will actually end off within 3/4 hour, but sometimes you just digress and go from one point to the other. But mashallah, your attention and your mashallah from the audience sometimes just gives you encouragement to continue, but inshallah, I will now start blending, inshallah. The fact of the matter is that mashallah, the Miraj is a lesson of ruhaniyat and spirituality, a lesson to build our iman like any other mu'jizahs, because mu'jizahs relate to the qudrat of Allah, which are outside the laws of science and technology. You know, people, scientists talk about laws of cause and effect. You do this, this is the cause and this is the effect. But Allah Ta'ala shows His Qudrat through mu'jizat, through miracles of Anbiya and through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's miracle, that Allah Ta'ala can reverse the whole process and He can do things without means, with means, and even against means. That's the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Without means, that this is all done without means. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, through this incident of Mi'raj, is showing us that we have to hold on to ru'aniyat, Iman, Salah, Dhikrullah, Tilawat of Quran. This is where our strength lies. And with that, and that, if that strength is there within us, the spiritual strength, automatically it will strengthen us intellectually also, and to think properly, physically also, inshallah, economically also, in every regard we will be on track then, inshallah. Why not? But we need to get ourselves connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Iman and Yaqeen, on His Qudrat, and through Amalus Salihah, starting off with Salah. You see this incident of Mi'raj, after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got back, it created two categories. What does Allah say in the Quran with regard to this? That وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّذِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ. That this incident of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and related it to the people, it became a means of a test, a tribulation for the people. A fitna means a test in this sense. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, this tree of Zakum, وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَنُخَوِّفُهُمْ, and from which you have been found that if you disobey Allah, this will be, you'll see in Jahannam this tree and this, that, and to be able to, made to eat the fruit. To put the fear of Allah, to warn us that don't. But what happens to these kind of people when they hear this kind of stories? Just stories of what kind of fruit is this of Zakum. We know of Zakumi, I think, more than Zakum. So whatever it is, Zakum is a fruit that's full of thorns and bitter. When a person will ask for food, in Jahannami, it'll go and get stuck here. It won't be, it can't come out, it can't, Allahu Akbar. So people who hear this with Iman, when they hear this, Allahumma wa save us, protect us from that kind of azab. Others will say, what kind of stories are they making? When we come before whom, and we are warning them, that وَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. Their kufr and their disobedience to Allah increases. Instead of Iman coming and the fear of Allah coming, they get even further, they make a mockery. So that's why it is said when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned back and he related this incident to the people of Makkah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he heard it, he became Siddiq because he made Tazdiq. And Abu Jahl, when he heard, he became Zindiq. He became a heretic and he was a kafir. His kufr increased. So subhanAllah, by hearing about mu'jizat and these miracles, it increases our Iman. For people who listen to it with Iman, the Iman increases. And people who are skeptics, doubtful, what is this story now? Because science and technology has taken so much that we only understand what relates to cause and effect. But yet Allah Ta'ala shows through these miracles that cause and effect can be reversed by, one is called Sunnatullah, one is called Qudratullah. Sunnatullah is what we talk about, cause and effect. That the Sunnatullah, things work in this way, etc. But Qudratullah is that Allah Ta'ala shows His Qudrat, that He can command or He can make a camel, a pregnant she-camel emerge from a mountain as a miracle for Hazrat Salih alayhi salam. That's Qudratullah. If someone tells you, you know what, a mountain giving birth to a camel. Did I hear correctly? Yes, a mountain giving birth to a camel. Mountain and camel, this is a rock. Camel and camel is an animal. Allah's Qudrat, Allah. You know, I heard of something that a person was born without father and mother, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Qudrat of Allah. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was born without a father but with a mother by the Qudrat of Allah. That's Qudratullah. Now we need to focus on the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And the Sunnatullah is on its place of cause and effect. But understand that what science and technology works, it just conforms to those things. But as Muslims, you should be ready to understand anything that comes in a line of that doesn't relate to the normal systems. And say, SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar, this is the hukam and qudrat of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala can do something like this. Anyway, brothers, Alhamdulillah, if this short talk of mine has brought that aspect of us to realize that how fortunate we are to be Muslims. Allah has given to us this Iman and Islam which we need to cherish, we need to strengthen, we need to build up and make an effort on our children so that Alhamdulillah they can continue after us. It mustn't happen after we leave the world, Islam becomes weaker in our homes. No, we need to work such a way and lay such foundations of deen that after we have left the dunya, our children can even take it up further. Our forefathers did a great work job. That's why we are seeing now sitting in the green side, beautiful masjid like this, because they did great, a lot of work. But the result, alhamdulillah, we persevered with our deen and iman. But when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned, this last incident I would like to make, they asked him that, describe to us Baitul Aqsa, Muqaddas, you said you went there, how Masjid Aqsa looks. Today we understand it very good. We're sitting here and looking at the TV box and what's happening live, thousands of kilometers away, live, through antennas and through instruments. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala opened up the barriers of the distances between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Palestine, Baitul Aqsa. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown by the hukam of Allah, Qudrat of Allah, the entire building. Now if you go in, someone asked me after I leave from Greenside, Malana, how many pillars were there in Greenside Masjid? As I'm seeing, there's 4 here. You don't take note of that. So I don't know. How many were there outside? No. Who remembers? You just walk into a masjid, or they ask you something else. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually, yes, because the people of Makkah used to go up and down to Syria to do business, and they saw the building. So when they asked him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually shown by the Qudrat of Allah that those barriers were removed and he was shown Baitul Muqaddas. Now how difficult it is for us to understand these things through the hukam and the qudrat of Allah, something like this is possible when today science and technology, through the aql and the intellect that Allah has provided, that they have been able to achieve this. Thus Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah brothers. Now the final thing is that alhamdulillah, Rajab is coming to an end, Shaban is going to start. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for Rajab and Shaban for barakat. Barakat in this sense doesn't mean barakat in money and food only. Barakat means tawfiq. To do increase in whatever good we are doing as far as our salah, our zakat if we haven't discharged it, our sadaqat, our du'as, our dhikr, our tawbah, istighfar, all this need to be increased and intensified as we are going towards Balighna Ramadan, towards Ramadan. So when Ramadan comes, we are ready to receive and welcome this great honorable guest of Allah, royal guest of Allah, and said, Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban ya shahr al Ramadan. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban ya shahr al Quran. That we are able to welcome this great month with a spirit of welcoming and able to take the full benefit of that, inshallah. Will we start making fikr for this, inshallah? We ask Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq and Allah Ta'ala's guidance in this matter, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for your patience and my apologies for a little bit of extra time that I have taken, inshallah. I would like you to join me, inshallah, in the recital of the 99 names of Allah, and we'll conclude with the dua, inshallah. قال الله تبارك وتعالى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها نسألك يا من هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكم العدل اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الأحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر
الأول الآخر الظاهر الباطن الوالي المتعالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام الرب المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المعطي المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور الذي ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير اللهم صل أفضل صلاة على أسعد مخلوقاتك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد معلوماتك ومداد كلماتك كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكره الغافلون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إن عبيدك بنو إمائك نواصينا بيدك ماض فينا حكمك عدل فينا قضاؤك نسألك اللهم باسمك الأعظم وبأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العليا هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم وذكرك الكريم ربيع قلوبنا ونور بصرنا وجلاء حزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا بفضلك وكرمك وجودك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم في ليلة الشريفة هذا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا ضرا إلا كشفته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا مجاهدا ومبلغا في سبيلك إلا نصرته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته ولا والدا إلا جبرته ولا دعاء إلا أجبته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاة إلا قضائها وأنت على قضائها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في ديننا ودنيانا وأهلنا وأولادنا وأحفادنا وعزتنا وأنفسنا ومالنا يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون اللهم اغفر لنا واغفر أمة حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عنا وتجاوز عن أمة حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اصلحنا وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم افتح لنا وافتح لأمة حبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحمنا وارحم أموات المسلمين الذي شهدوا لك بالوحدانية وبنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين المظلومين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقهم الفتح والنصرة والسلطة والفتى والسلطة يا رب العالمين على أعدائهم أعداء الدين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلحهم وأصلح ذات بينهم واجعل في قلوبهم الإيمان والحكمة وثبتهم على ملة رسولك وأوزعهم أن يشكروا نعمتك التي أنمت عليهم وأن يوفوا بعهدك الذي عاهدتهم عليه وانصرهم يا الله وانصرهم يا الله على عدوك وعدوك في كل مكان يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم واهدنا ووفقنا وارشدنا إلى الحق وإلى طريق مستقيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله
الحمد لله Finally, in line with the teaching of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. Those who do not express gratitude to mankind will never do so to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take the opportunity to say sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, Jazakumullah khairan to Hazrat Mawlana Abbas Sahab as well as his family who have made a sacrifice to be with us this evening. It is indeed an honor for us. May Allah ta'ala accept this gathering and make it a means of enhancing us in his love and his muhabbat, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.